Welcome to the Word on Wednesday podcast for March 27. My name is John Mason. Thank you for joining us. Have you ever considered the legacy you'd like to leave? I'm not speaking here of a material legacy for your family, but a legacy or gift for the benefit of others. Writing in the Weekend Australian, March 16, 17, Nikki Gamel spoke of the ultimate sacrifice of Alexei Navalny, the late Russian opposition leader, whose sacrifice was driven by a deep love of his country and of his compatriots. "We're not used to heroes in real life anymore," she wrote. In commenting on Navalny's life, most commentators miss the point that his sense of suffering, even his willingness to lay down his life in the cause of human rights, arose from his Christian faith, something he came to profess in his adult years. Navalny's heroism echoed in a small way the greatest sacrifice the world has ever known, that of Jesus, the Son of God. Come with me to the Gospel of John. "In the course of his public ministry," John records, "Jesus spoke of his hour. When Mary asked Jesus to do something about the need for wine at a wedding in Cana, that we read about in John chapter 2, he replied that his hour had not yet come. Later on, he said it again, in chapter 7 and chapter 8. But in John chapter 12, verse 23, when Philip and Andrew reported that some Greeks wanted to meet Jesus, a turning point came. It was then that he said, 'The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified.' It's through Jesus' death alone that God's kingdom is open to all who believe in him, that is, in Jesus. Greeks, the non-Jewish world, as well as Jewish people. Twice more, when he was with his disciples in the upper room, Jesus spoke of the time having come for him to depart this world through an event that would be his glorification. He was speaking about his death. We get glimpses of Jesus' understanding of the purpose of his life throughout the four gospel records. An important key to the backstory is found in the prophetic words of Isaiah that speak of a coming servant. Chapter 52, verse 13 through chapter 53, verse 12 are very important, especially verse 6 of chapter 53. "All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've all turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Jesus, the Word of God incarnate, was born to suffer and die as the one perfect and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the world. The hidden nature of the depths of God's love is revealed in the crucifixion. Jesus' imminent death would be his glorification, where glory speaks of the outward manifestation of his true inner character. Furthermore, Jesus prays that the Father's name also will be glorified. Too often we forget that God, whose nature is always to show mercy, is passionate about rescuing the lost. In John chapter 12, verse 28, we read God's response to Jesus' prayer, "I have glorified you, and I will glorify it again." It's a reference to Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead, and supremely a reference to God's raising of Jesus from the dead. Jesus' glorification is also the Father's glorification. Another significant facet of Jesus' crucifixion we often overlook is that the world and its ruler were judged then and there. For Jesus' death involved a conflict with the powers of evil. As Jesus' crucifixion involved the reversal of the events of Genesis chapter 3, the original tempter needed to be deposed once and for all. Through his crucifixion, Jesus, the Son of God, not only overcame the power of sin, but also disarmed the evil powers of this world and triumphed over them, as we read in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 15. Yes, the powers of evil are still alive and still hell-bent on defacing and destroying the image of God within us. But these very powers are in their death throes, kicking out against what they know will be their end. In John chapter 12, verse 32, we read Jesus' words, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this, John records, to indicate the kind of death he was to die. Jesus endured the extremes of injustice and torture, suffering and crucifixion. His death was not that of a misguided martyr, as in the pop opera Jesus Christ Superstar. Nor is the cross a heartless God punishing a hapless son. Jesus tells us himself it was his choice. We read about that in John chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. Both he and the Father love the world and are intent on its rescue, no matter the cost. As we read in John chapter 3 and verse 16. The death of God's Son on the cross might seem strange, but it reveals the deeper wisdom of God and the invincible power of his love. Only God himself could perfectly satisfy the innermost depths of his righteousness. In the midst of the noise and suffering of a troubled and evil world, Christ has left us an amazing gift. Through his cross, he has not only conquered the power of sin and evil, but also of death itself. The breaking news of Easter Day, that Christ is risen, awakens us to a hope and a future far beyond our imagination. The events of Good Friday reveal that Jesus' suffering and death weren't the end of a heroic life, but the inauguration of God's new age. This is God's extraordinary gift. It leaves us with questions we need to address. Do we really believe this? Have we personally turned to the Lord with thankful hearts and repentance and faith? Is our joy such that we want to pass on the news of Christ's great gift, no matter the cost, to family and friends, as well as to the wider world? Is this a legacy we really want to leave? On Good Friday and Easter Day, may you know afresh, or for the first time, the joy and the hope of God's gift of new life in Jesus Christ. So let me pray. Almighty Father, look graciously upon your people, for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed and given up into the hands of wicked men, and to suffer death upon the cross, who now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen. Almighty God, you have conquered death through your dearly beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and have opened to us the gate of everlasting life. Grant us by your grace to set our mind on things above, so that by your continual help, our whole life may be transformed. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit in everlasting glory. Amen.
John Mason is the speaker and writer of this week's podcast. The prayers are from an Australian prayer book, 1978, and the opening and closing music is from St Andrew's Cathedral, Sydney, under the direction of Ross Cobb. Please let us know if you have a question or a comment about this podcast. We'd love to hear from you.